So another exciting day of Daf Yomi, and today we're up to Daf Kuf Tet Vav, right at the Halakha Mishnah. Seder Nachalot Kachu. The following is the hierarchy of the Nachalot. We start with the Posek Ish Ki Amut Uben Einlo V'Avartem Et Nachalato Libito, which means that Bein Kodem Labat, and as we know, this goes all the way across the Yerushot, unless you hold like Rav Zecharia Ben HaKatzav. We learn that out from the Vovs that continue the Hekesh all the way down to Viarash. And so this is the first klal that we have. Male comes before females all across the line. Now, what's added over here, which of course we've already discussed, we took it for granted, but here's the formalization of the klalim in the Mishnah. Kol yotzei yirecho shel bein kodmim labat. Any descendant of a bein will come before a bat. So in other words, if that bein has a great-great grandson, and actually even a great-great-granddaughter, surprisingly, because of the fact that the real Yoresh in all such cases is the bein, he's not just a node to Yerusha. Remember that every node is itself a Yoresh that passes on the Yerusha to his own Yorshim. Because of that, as long as there's any descendant of that bein, it's as if the bein is alive and he's been Yoresh and now giving it over to his. So we have a curious situation which will turn out to be very important in dealings between the Prushim and the Tzedukim, as we'll see. But we have over here a fascinating situation in which a great-granddaughter is more powerful than a daughter. Right? Because assuming that a man died, leaving a son and a daughter, and the son dies, leaving now, but before the father, the son had died, leaving a great-granddaughter himself. This is a big old daddy, the great-great-grandfather over here. He dies, and now he has a living daughter and a living great-granddaughter. And those are his two descendants. The daughter doesn't get a dime, and the great-granddaughter is the one who gets the money. Fascinating, right? And it follows, logically, by the node modality. So therefore, the klal being the kol yotzei yirecho shel bein is kodmim labat. Now, this would be true even, of course, with a bat herself is the node. So in other words, if there's a bat, and that bat has a great-great-granddaughter, and she is no longer alive at the time that the father dies, still the great-great-granddaughter is going to come before the achim of the father. So bat kodemet la'achim. And what's more, a oyotze yerecho shabbat, or kodmim lachim. Same situation would occur with a daughter. Achin kodmim lachia av. And we said the next case, this is all following, of course, the Seder of the Pasuk. Imein achim, and so on. So the imein achim, then you give it to the achim of the father of the mate. Okay, but any of those achim will come before the uncles. So then that would mean, by the same token, since everything works with the same logic, the same simple rules, the same nodes, therefore any yotzei yirecho of the brothers of the deceased, even a great-great-granddaughter, will come before the father's brothers. Zeh aklal, the rule is always kol hakodem b'nachala, by definition, yotzei yirecho are kodmi. And of course, although it didn't appear in the Pasuk, but as we went to great lengths to prove right up front at the beginning, the missing man in this picture is the father in each. Doesn't mean only that father. The father in any situation is always not simply a node to determine who the current heir is. He is the actual heir. So even though we don't mention him in the Pasuk, the only way that all the other people got to here was by going up a generation, hitting a father who's assumed to be dead. But if, in fact, he's alive and is blessed with that kind of longevity, it goes to him because he is the one that was really the Yoresh. Therefore, any father will come before all of his Yotzei Yerecho if they're coming to get it through him. Tana Rabbanan, Bein. Ein li ela Bein. Okay, we say over here a Bein comes before a Bat, but maybe that's only the Bein himself. How about the Bein HaBein? Or how about the Bat HaBein? What, a grandson or a granddaughter? Or for that matter, even a Bein HaBat? Bein Bat HaBein, a great-granddaughter now, through a daughter. Is that also going to come before the Bat, who is the direct descendant of the deceased? How do we know, Minayin, that that is indeed true? Talmud Lomar Ein Lo, Of course, it's logical, but it's only logical once we know that that is, in fact, the basis of the Seder HaNachalot. But how do we know that that's the basis of the Seder HaNachalot and not some type of predefined chart? You know, move to this piece on the chart, and if that's missing, move to the next piece on the chart. Who's to say that the chart of Nachla is meant to be now this logical modality? Talmud Lomar Uben Einlo. Now, we know wherever it says Einlo, the word Einlo can be read as Ayena love. Because the truth is that Ein occurs, as the Gemara Yevamos points out, we have exactly the same discussion of Ein Einlo, that would mean even if the mate would have a great-grandson or great-great-granddaughter, whatever, that the din would be that there's no Yibum that's performed, as we've seen many, many times, the din of Yibum and the din of Nachlas are completely interwoven, which, of course, is the basis of the whole Megillas and Rosh. And over here, the reason that that's true, as the Gemara Yevamos explains, is because we do find Ein pronounced that way without a Yud. And that is Me'ein, the Me'ein, Me'ein Bilam, Me'ein Yabmi. So the word Ein doesn't need a Yud. But there's also a very curious interrelationship. Because remember that the word Ein is easily pronounced Ayin. There's no way to tell the difference between an Ein and an Ayin. Not Ayin, but Ayin. Ayin in the sense of doesn't exist. So therefore, Ben Ein Lo means zero, nothing. There's absolute nothingness. That nothingness is expressed in a play on words in which we can read it with an ayin, actually, ayin. So that ayin, ayin alav, go do your research. So do your due diligence and find out whether anything's there, because you need to have an ayin before you'll move it out of this place. So ayin alav, see whether there's any descendant whatsoever. The same thing would be true of a bat, ainli ala bat. How about if that bat has a bat? So you have a bat habat, or maybe that bat has a ben, or for that matter, maybe that bat has a bat ben abat. I mean, how do you know that it goes all the way to whatever descendant she would have before we would move it on to go to the ache hamet? Talmud lomar, ein lo again. Ein lo, in every case, that's what it says. Ein lo means ayin alav, see whether there may be a surviving descendant somewhere before you give up. Then go up to the next mode. Check that all the way down. Hakate said, what does this mean in practical terms? That ayin alav goes in both directions, because ayin alav turns out to be the key. Do your research, because you always have something to find. There's never going to be nothing to find, because if it doesn't work going down, it's going to work going up. So let's say that what you started off with over here is somebody from Shevet Reuven, and we'll see why we chose a Shevet instead of, I mean, why not just say any Jew? Go back to Yaakov. Why talk about Reuven anymore? We'll ask. But let's say, for instance, we have someone who died who was part of Shevet Reuven. Look, if you have to, keep up your genealogical research over here, keeping Ayin Alav. This is a remez to the Beit HaTfutzot Museum, Ayin Alav. It's to be Makayim that mitzvah. And you'll go up, if necessary, all the way to Reuven ben Yaakov. But somebody is going to eventually be found who is a cousin to the 50th degree from the mate, and that's it. So it will be the heir. So why is it? Why choose Ad Reuven, which forces us to limit the case to a particular Shevet? I mean, couldn't we just say go all the way back to Yaakov? Rabbi, it's coming to tell you something. It's coming to tell you a Gemara that we have, that this is the place where we were kovea it. And that Gemara says, Gemire delo kola shifta. We have a Kabbalah that no Shevet disappears. Now, they didn't know this, perhaps, at the time of Pelegish Begiva, as we'll see. And there was a chance that Binyamin would have been wiped out completely. They needed the drasha about the kingdom coming from Binyamin. But later on, towards the end of the period of the Nevi'im, when Malachi came along, so he said, Ani Hashem lo shaniti, vatem b'nei Yaakov lo chilitem. So that means B'nei Yaakov lo chilitem. Therefore, even though it looks like there may be no survivors to a Shevet, it's not true. There are members of all of the Shvatim. Therefore, we didn't want to say Ad Yaakov, because we want to bring out, you'll never go all the way back to Yaakov. There will always be a way to hit a cousin from the level of Shevet. Which, of course, Yaakov has all kinds of implications.
Yaakov didn't even know that. Seems like Yosef died.
See that? If that's for sure, they weren't Shvatim yet.
Right, so it's only, could be the Rabbah was only from Malachi.
No, but they weren't Shifteka yet. He was afraid they weren't. He said, this is my Kabbalah. It's only if they survive. Now I know that they're Shifteka. It's If he saw they didn't survive, that was his raya, that they weren't shvatim, not a rabbi. Right? That's what he says. He says, Kabbalah, that's what he says. So, this now, the chiddush of the Mishnah, that strange case that we had in the Mishnah, is indeed a very, very important source of controversy. Because, and again, it's pure logic. Once you understand the Ayin Alev, it's pure logic that a great-great-granddaughter is going to be Yorish, and the daughter will not be Yorish. Astonishing. But comes along now, says Ravuna Marav, I don't care who tells it to you, but anybody who tries to tell you that Kola Omer, Tirash Bat Im Bat HaBein, I don't care who he is, Afil Nasish Bisrael Ain't Shomim Lo, She'inan Ela Maaset Tzedukim. The Tzedukim made a big fuss about this, as apparently this was the din among the Umay Sa'ilon, that even though we're ready to be Meida, that a male comes first, and that if there's a male descendant, and the male descendant comes, because that the Torah says, Ben Einlay, there's no way to avoid that implication. However, what you're doing is you're putting two issues together. You're putting the Kedima of the Bain together with the halacha that any descendant is a part of the Kedima of the Yerusha. The problem is that since a bat herself is merely a stand-in in a way, because it says v'ha'avartem et nachalato levito, it doesn't make sense to say that the stand-in bat, in this case a great-great-granddaughter, should be more powerful than the stand-in literal bat, who is his direct daughter. So why would the same man's ha'avartem take the place of his own daughter, at least split it, to give the daughter rights? Because bishleim, if a male is taking away those rights, mamele, it says ben elam. But in this case, a female is going to take away the rights. I mean, why would that be? So let's make it now on the same darga. So I don't care, says Rav. If somebody comes along, you should know it's only coming from the tzedukim. The Tanya, this is actually part of Megillat Ta'anit, a holiday coming up. I suppose we should, as we're learning, I mean, so we ought to at least make sure that Richie brings in some drinks on the 24th of Tevet. So no tachanun for sure, right? V'arba'a v'yasrim b'tevet tavna ledinana. On the 24th of Tevet, there was a great holiday because we went back to the correct din. Because what happened was, shoyu tzidukim omrim tirash habat imbat habein. The law should be that a granddaughter, a great-granddaughter, should get a Yerusha, yes, but only together with the actual daughter. It doesn't make sense she would be better. Nitpalem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai always tried to deal with these issues before they got out of hand. So he says, let me sort this out. So he was Nitpalem, which was the double meaning. Simple Nitpal means became, started walking together with them. But Nitpal also is from the Lashon of Nitapel. So we'll take care of this. But as they say in South Africa, we'll sort this out. So Nitpalem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Omar lehem. You idiots. Shotim, where the heck did you come up with that nonsense? Minayin zalachem. V'lo haya adam shechziro davar. There's no one who had the guts to start up with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They didn't know where they got it from. Chutz mizakein echad. There was one elder that they had. Shaya mifatfet kenegdo. So he got into this rhetoric, arguing with them, and he said, what do you mean? It's a kal v'chomer. Look. Uma bat beno haba'a mikor beno tirashena. If you're telling me that the granddaughter who is only given a right to have a Yerusha because she comes from the kayach of his son who is deceased, bito, who comes directly from him, it's his own daughter, it's the deceased own daughter. So bito haba'a mikorcho lo koshike, isn't it clear that the daughter should come at least at the same kayach as the granddaughter, because the granddaughter only has the rights because of a ben who himself only has the rights because he's the son of the deceased. So Kol Shekein, the daughter was a direct, now, survivor of the deceased, should be able to be Yoreshet. Said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to them, it's a shame you don't know your Bible. Didn't you say that you're like heavy on the Bible, I thought, right? So what about this pasuk? Interesting psukim over here. On the one hand, it says, Ela b'nei seir hachori yoshvei haaretz. Lotan, Veshuvar, Vetzivon, Ve'ana. Okay, so who? Tzivon here, together with Ana, are listed as sons of Seir. Seir the Chori. And yet there's another pasuk that contradicts that, because it says, Ve'ela b'nei Tzivon, Ve'aya Ve'ana, Hu Ana Asher Matzata Yemin. So now, the first one says that Ana is Seir's son. The second one says that Ana is a Tzivon's son. So which one is Ana? So clearly what this teaches us, the truth was that Ana was a mamzer, and he came from the mother of Tzivon, the wife of Seir, but he was actually a son of an Oedipal relationship. So this Ana was a son of Tzivon. Wait a minute. How do you know that? I mean, people often name children the same name as their father. No, I mean, they still do that today. Yeah, maybe they were Spartan. V'dilma trei anahav. How do you know that there weren't two anahs? Omar Rabba, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. This is a chiddush. Never heard this chiddush from anybody. Amina milta de lo amra shvor malka. Even shvor malka was the melech of the Persia at the time. Of course, who's he referring to? He's referring to Shmuel. They used to call Shmuel shvor malka. Because we always paskin like Shmuel and the Dinim, so he was like a statement that came straight from the king. They called him Shvor Malka. Ikene Amri, others say Rav Papa was the one who responded to this. He also said the same thing, except he wasn't referring to Shmuel. He was referring to the Shvor Malka of his door. Rav Papa, Amina Milta Dol Amri Shvor Malka. He was referring to Rabba, because we always paskin like Rabba, as we saw before, that the halacha is only like Rabbi Yosef in three cases, but otherwise we'll paskin like Rabba. So Memela, he called Rabba Shvor Malka. But anyway, want me to show you? But it can't be a different Ana? Keep reading. Ve'ele v'nei Tzivon v'ayav Ana, Hu Ana asher matzata yemin. Wherever the Torah says who, it means it's the same guy. So Avram, Hu Avraham. Ana, Hu Ana. Okay, there you go. So that means it's the Ana that we were referring to before. And, of course, not coincidentally, this was the guy who was a mamzer who seemed to think that was a great idea. So he bred the first mules. He figured he might as well have mamzerim and the animals too. Right? So he mixed now horses and donkeys and got himself mules, sort of a remez to himself. But as Rashi says, so he was posel, so he was mar b'psulim b'aylam. But it's the same guy.
Why is this a
milsa d'lo ana? Nobody ever thought of this. No, the portion of meaning of the pasuk is where this is the ana that was, but not that this is the ana by definition. It has to mean this is the known ana from before. That's a great chiddush. After I mayor your eyes, now it's nothing? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
but how do we know that?
Of course it's not been said before, it's a chiddush.
No. First of all, that's one way of saying it's a chiddush. But secondly, psukim, generally, people understand. That's as David is saying. That's why he's bringing it out. You should know. You've read this pasuk 1,000 times. Shmuel read this pasuk 1,000 times. Nobody ever pointed it out. That's pretty amazing. Anyway, so hu ana means hu ana de mikara. Wow. We should have told Robert to read Rashi. What a shame. So what does this show us? Right? This shows us an amazing thing. Because what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says that he is called a Ben of Seir, right? So that means, why do we call him a Ben of Seir? Because he really was. In other words, he went ahead now, and he was Yoresh as one of the Banim of Seir. That's the point. So in other words, despite the fact that he was a grandson, because he was really Tzivon's son, but now Tzivon had died, and they were Yoresh, and now it turns out that he has the same din as a son of Seir. So that means that the Torah is telling us that when it comes to Yerusha, there is no difference between a son and a grandson. You don't view it as a second-order Yerusha, that you should now be able to say, well, I mean, I understand, first generation of Ben comes before a Bat. But, I mean, the second generation is not really viewed as taking the place of a Bain. It's like a further Yerusha, in which case it can't have more Kayach than the first generation. The Torah is saying there's no generations at all. It's simply the stand-in, all, for the direct Yerusha. In which case, your whole Kal Vachomer basically falls apart. Now, it's true that the Tzedukim never argued on this particular case, because it's talking about males. They agreed that a male grandson or great-grandson is going to come before the Achaim and so on and so forth. That's for sure. We're only saying that since a bat is anyway a ha'avartem kind of thing, so mamela, we ought to balance it out to make it even with the direct descendant. But lamaisa, since the Torah over here is mashveh, the first generation and the second generation, and it calls tzivon a ben of seir, so that takes away now the ground from under the feet of the Kal Vachomer, because the Kal Vachomer was based on there being separate generations. So the Tzeduki, the Zaken, said to him, ah, come on, man, Rebbe, b'kach ata potreini. I mean, come on, you know I can argue on this. I mean, I can tell you that this is just the bottom line, because it's referring to males. You're not going to be able to prove to someone who doesn't understand with sufficient sophistication that that doesn't work. The truth is it doesn't work, what the Tzeduki said. Having shown that it's basically the equivalent of a son of Seir, you really don't have a leg to stand on. However, the truth is there was more powerful things that Rabbi Yochanan could have said, didn't want to say, if he could get away with this, because the less intelligence that is given over to people like Tzedukim, the better off we are. So to give them the ability to analyze things and to really understand the Torah, what for? But when he saw that the guy challenged him and was not going to accept what he told him, Amarlo Shota, you're such an idiot. I'm supposed to really argue with a jerk like you. You don't have the sophistication for me to argue with. What we have is a Torah Shleima. It's an entire system of thought. You can't just come in here with your boichsvaras and babble. Now, oh, that makes sense. Like you get these pieces over the internet of, you know, a guy who comes up with this pshat. You know, it's exactly the same as the lady who comes up with the, you know, this particular vaccination is, you know, that's going to destroy the world. The craziest things. But you've got, you know, you've got your little piece of information, which you have no idea how it fits into the overall structure of information. Okay, so a person who's not sophisticated enough to know what a holistic vision is can babble. That's Sicha Betela. If you have a Teresh Shlema, you don't babble. Okay, you want to understand, I'll give you an example of what an idiot you are to understand how this works. Look, the basis of your Kal Vachomer is that a granddaughter can't possibly be more powerful than a daughter. Okay, dum-dum. So how about in a case where there is a granddaughter who now prevents the Arusha from going to the brothers of the mate? So a bat beno is going to be yafeh kocha b'mekom ha'achim. So now let's compare the brothers with the granddaughter. Are we agreed that here the granddaughter usurps now that kayach? She's going to be yoreshes together with them. So now taking the case that we had, Tzolofchad. Here is benos Tzolofchad. And as we saw, the daughters of Tzolofchad are going to inherit along with their uncles. She's going to prevent the uncles from taking everything. She is going to get a piece of the action of Hefer's property. Correct?
She's a direct daughter.
No, she's a granddaughter. The Benot Tzolofchad are granddaughters of Hefer. And Hefer had lots of sons. And as we saw, Benot Tzolofchad took not only Tzolofchad's chelek, they took Tzolofchad's chelek in Hefer's property. Now, who ever heard of a daughter taking along with the sons, Mr. Tzeduki? So a second-generation daughter, you're made as a case in the Torah, where the second-generation daughter was cholekes with the brothers, but the daughter herself, nothing, and no rights at all. Okay, bye-bye, Kal Vachomer, granddaughter, more powerful than daughter, beep.
Okay, but with the line of the
time. No, what do you mean? Doesn't matter. Okay. It doesn't matter when he died.
The son and the son's daughter.
They got two separate issues. They got Tzolofchad Chelek, he was a Yotzei Mitzrayim, as we'll see later. Then when Hefer died, Tzolofchad, who was dead, split the Chelek with Tzolofchad's brothers. The stand-in for Tzolofchad was Benos Tzolofchad. They inherited together with his brothers. Who ever heard of a daughter inheriting with sons? Of course, all the other daughters, first generation daughters, were not even mentioned. Hefer's daughters don't get in the picture at all. But Solovka's daughters, who were only granddaughters of Hefer, they're going to inherit. No. Kiss it goodbye, baby. It doesn't matter if you know or not. You're all made that Hefer's daughters didn't inherit. They said themselves, well, of course a bat is not Yorish together with a ben. You don't have to know that he had daughters. But the logical situation is that I've just proven to you that your entire Yesod is Mufrach Meikara. Okay. So at that point, so let's just see that inside. So here's your Sicha Betela. Mala Bat Beno, Sheken Yafe Kocha Bimkom Ha'achim, she can still inherit among the brothers of the deceased father. Tomar Bebito Sheura Kocha Bimkom Ha'achim V'nitzchum. That was the end of that argument. Nobody obviously could come back against that. V'oto Hayom Asa'u Yom Tov. They made it a holiday on the 24th of Tevet to celebrate the Nitzachon over the Tzedukim. Now, interestingly, we have a pasuk that says, "Vayomru Yerushat Pleita LeVinyamin V'lo Yimachesh Shevet MiYisrael." This pasuk addresses two issues that we've been discussing. A, it turns out we started off the whole discussion that we don't want to go all the way back to Yaakov because actually there never will be a kilayon of Reuven, which means there's never a kilayon of Binyamin. But B, we started this discussion with the issue of Abat Aben, and that Abat Aben will be, in fact, Yoreshet Nachala. Gentlemen, consider what happened in Pilegish Begiva. The entire Shevet Binyamin was reduced to 600 surviving men. That does not give you a very big choice of husbands, because the original number of women are still there. So let's figure we've got 40,000 women to 600 men. That's going to keep even a hero busy. So therefore, what we have to assume now is that not only that, there's another very important issue. 600 people now own what 20,000 people used to own. They're all multimillionaires because the Yerusha is gone to whoever was left. All right, so they're multimillionaires. Each one of these guys a major landholder. Now, they're gonna have granddaughters, right? In a population, there's going to be a significant number of single granddaughters, in other words, without sons or great-granddaughters. They're not going to have people to marry in Binyamin because it's going to take generations to build up the population. Almost by definition, they're going to marry out of Shevet. They're going to marry out of Shevet as enormous landholders of the Shevet. Oh, my gosh. What a mess. So this takes the Benos Slavchad issue to a whole different level, right?
Your Yovel would bring it back.
Why would he bring it back? So Asavat Nachala. What's with you, man?
The
classic Asavat Nachala. The grandsons are from another Shevet. The mother inherited. No Yovel. As B'nai Mocher kindly pointed out, V'iniyah Yovel. Bloom. Forever gone. Yovel ain't going to help. Right? So the Shvatim got together, and together with the Takana that they wanted to make for the survival of Binyamin, which we'll be getting to in the story of Pelegish Begiva and the kidnapping of the husbands and so on and so forth. So in order to avoid the loss of Binyamin, they wanted to make certain that they could avoid the loss of the inheritance of Binyamin. Therefore, all of the Shvatim, remarkably, got together to make a Takanat Beit Din, that they are all mevater on the rights of Yerusha from Binyamin, and there would be no din of Yerusha to Abat Aben, where it could be Mesiv the Nachal. Tosfos says this was a short-term takana until they were able to rebuild the population, but it went beyond the time of the Benos Slavcha themselves. This pasuk is a fantastic actual life example of the principles of this daf. And therefore the Gemara brings it in here. So Vayamru, there must be a Yerushat Pleita LeVinyamin. V'lo Yimachesh Shevet MiYisrael. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Devei Rabbi Yama, you know what this teaches us? It teaches that they all made a Tanai, It was specifically because of this that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had just brought to be menatzeach the tzedukim, that they realized that they're going to have major problems because of the logistics when it comes to Binyamin. Not only will there be no Binyaminites to marry these women, but these women are not just going to be heiresses. They're going to be fabulously wealthy heiresses, which makes it complicates the pattern even more. And therefore, we had to make that takana, and we have, of course, the Keach Bezdin Hefker. The Hefker Bezdin is Hefker, so even if the Shvatim, a particular individual, doesn't want to go along, it makes absolutely no difference. And this became the law of the land. It was only a takana for the situation of the Bat Habein. The normal din of Yerushas HaBat, if there's no Banim, remains in place. It's a tiny scale. I mean, here it's a massive scale. And there, I mean, we have sufficient population to handle it. But if we start ignoring the second generation, it turns out that, interestingly enough, what David is pointing out over here is also another fascinating thing, which is that even though we reject the tzedukim at making a nafkamina between the two generations, curiously, when it came to securing the future of Binyamin, we ourselves made a takana that reflected the dinim of the tzedukim.
Right.
Even worse, in a way, because we canceled the Yerush of Abat Aben completely if there were...
It was temporary.
Yeah.
Like income tax.
Yeah, and death.
Yeah.
I mean, we're guaranteed that, it's not really a problem.
How long was the time of not to do it?
We're going to come to that. That was Tu B'Av. That's the celebration of Tu B'Av. That was a very, very short period. It was only that door, really. But they didn't figure that out until later.
For the next generation.
Seder Nachalot Kachu. Ish ki amutu ben ein lo va'avartam en nachlato lo bito. Ben kodem lebat, ko yotzei rechosho ben kodem lebat, bat kodem la'achim, yotzei rechosho bat kodem la'achim, achim kodem la'achayav, and all yotzei rechan shelachim, male or female, or all kodem la'achayav, ze haklal. Kol ha'kodem ben achala, yotzei recho kodmin, v'yav kodem loko yotzei recho. Tone Rabbana. Ben ein li ala ben, ben abat, o bat haben, o ben bat haben minai. I meant ben aben, sorry. Talmud lomar, ein lo bininga yein ala, bat, ein li ala bat habat, ver ben habat, ver bat ben habat minai. Talmud lomar, ein lo meaning ayein ala. Haketzad nachala memashmeshet in both directions. So it would be memashmeshet upwards as well. And it would be olechet ad ruvein. Why only ad ruvein? V'lima ad Yaakov. Omer Abaye, yemiri delo chola shifta. Omer ruvun omer av. Kol omer tirash bat im bat abein. Afilo nasi shubi Yisrael ein shomim lo. She'enan ala ma'aset sedukim. Dutanya. Be'arba av esrim beteved. Tavna ledidana. Shayu tzadukim omrim tirash habat im ben habat. Nitpar lehem Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Omar lehem shotim. מנהיין זה לכם, ולא היה אדם שיחזירו דבר, חוץ מזקן אחד שהם מפתפת כנגדו ואומר, ומה, this is the same law של הפיטפוט we had before, שמפתפת ביצרו. This was the raya that פיטפוט means fighting. שפיטפט, פיטפט לנגדו. Okay? So, מה בן, ומה בת בנו, הבא מקור בנו תירשנו, and of course, as the invisible Tosus points out, he would have had a basis for saying this because he would want to be metaken the same way that we ended up being metaken for Shevet Binyamin as a Horasha. Even that, don't accept it. That was like a super Horasha. So if you have the Bito Abomiko Choloko Shekein, Kora Lavata Mikraze, Eile B'nei Seir Achori Yoshvei Oretz Lotan V'Shuvo V'Tzivon V'Ana. Yet it says, Eile b'nei tzivon aya v'aya v'yana. Emo melameh cheba tzivon alimo v'olidana. V'dil metreyana, havi? Omar Rabba, ha, 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 milta delorom reshvor malka, umanu Shmuel, or ikri amram of papa, amina milta delorom reshvor malka, referring to Rabba, Omar kro huana, which means huana de mikara. So the zaken of the tzedukim said, Omar le rebi bekachata potreni, Omar, oh, I won't even say the word he used. Shote, valoto, hey, Torah, shlema, shalano, kesichabet, elah, shalachem. Malabat benoshiken yafek kocha b'makom ha'achim. Tomar bevito shura kocha b'makom ha'achim. V'nitzchum. V'yoto ha'yom azu yom tov. V'yomru yirushat pleita levinyamin v'lo yimachesh shevet m'Yisrael. Omar Rabbi Yochanan devei Rabbi Ami v'lamit shiitnu ha'shevet benyamin shalot tirash bat ha'bein im ha'achim.